Thank you, Kevin. excuse me. No matter how hard I try or how sincere I am, I wish it would translate to a better score on the golf course. okay. I... excuse me. I have got more nerves today than usual. I have a couple different technology things going on, and so I would really appreciate and need your prayers that this would work, that my mind could be focused, that I can keep things in order. I want to welcome everyone here in the name of Christ, all those that are joining us online. Those that may be listening in the future, I hope that this message finds you well. I'm going to do something today that is very different. before we get into that, though, I want to read you a scripture. This picture up above me will come into play later. I want to read you a scripture. Actually, I don't want to read you a scripture. Someone else is going to read you a scripture.
I'm going to turn over to Mark in the second chapter, verse 15 through 17. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician. And that should be you and I. We should be the ones that are whole. The ones that are not in need of a physician. But he goes on and says, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you and I, probably in spite of maybe what we think of ourselves, are sinners. And we come short of the glory of God.
Not that long ago, I was given a thumb drive randomly, just out of the blue. My uncle was going through some of his old stuff with my grandfather's, Apostle Frank Fan. I'm sure many of you know that voice. Some of you most likely do not, and that's okay. He found a thumb drive. He popped it in his computer. He found some of his old notes on there. There were some of my grandfather's old notes, some reports, and it was all things that were compiled towards the end of his life. After examining the contents, he gave it to me. He said, you could do more with this than I can. And so I popped it in my computer and opened it up to see what was on there. And on there were some sermon notes. And one particular thing stood out to me. Towards the end of his life, just a couple months before he passed, he preached a sermon, one of his last sermons, titled Repentance and Remission of Sins. Those notes for that sermon were on his thumb drive, and as I was reading through these sermon notes, he did it in all caps. I don't know why. I don't know how you could read that, but as I was reading through these sermon notes, I found it particularly rather timely. Timely for us, and timely for us in the day which we live, timely for us as a ministry, and timely for us as a church. I said my sermon today was going to be a little different, and it is. I'm going to change it up just a bit. Today's sermon, as you could probably say, is co-written. The majority mine, but co-written by my late grandfather, Apostle Frank Fran, and myself. The message brought this day is a message that serves as the title of the sermon, Get to Know Christ. Let's go back to my grandfather's scripture reading. Mark 2, 15 through 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you feel whole? Do you feel like you haven't made? Do you feel like this scripture that's displayed behind me? When you read it, when you heard it read, is for others and not you? John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know Christ? If Christ came in his own words, as we read, to call sinners to repentance, and you identify as one of those sinners, it's probably important that we get to know him. This word know, it's in Strong's, it's Greek 1097. It's used in another familiar scripture. We're going to read that. This is Matthew 7, 22 through 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Other uses of this word are perceived, to this word know, perceived, understood, felt, resolved, be ye sure. Is this your mission in life, to strive to know Jesus Christ? To be sure in him, to understand him, to perceive his will, his working in your life, to understand his doctrine and resolve to follow? Is it your mission in life to have him know you? Alma 16, 226 to 230. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein no labor can be performed. Brothers and sisters, those joining us on live stream, any of those hearing this message in the future, we have to prioritize as individuals, as a church, as a ministry, to get to know Christ, to know Jesus Christ more. This is not just for ourselves. We have a great commission before us, to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ to the world, to help others outside of these walls get to know Christ. What is this picture behind me? Does anybody know?
The burning fuse from Mission Impossible.
That's right. The opening sequence from Mission Impossible. The burning fuse. A mission. Not impossible, but our mission. When we walk through those doors, when we are behind this pulpit, when we are out in the world as representative of our subscribed faith, are we fulfilling that mission? Our mission for ourselves to get to know Christ, and our mission for others to help others to get to know Christ. We must, as a priesthood and as a body of Christ, work diligently to accomplish this mission. It is not impossible. It is our calling. Okay. The sermon is going to be broke up in two sections. First, I want to speak to my fellow brothers in the ministry. What is the responsibility of us, those in the priesthood, in helping believers and others get to know Christ?
And I want to read out of Moroni. Third chapter, verse 2. You know, we have words to say when we baptize people. Our brother Rusty used those words today. We have words to say when we bless the wine and the bread for sacrament. And I believe that we should be using those words that's given to us in the Book of Mormon in our ordinations. It was in mine. So I feel commanded, implored by God. I'm going to read to you. I ordain you to be a priest or a teacher, to preach repentance and remission of sins through Jesus Christ by the endurance of faith on his name to the end. Brothers in the ministry, that's your calling. Preach repentance.
Brothers, this is our calling. To preach repentance and remission of sins. Luke 24, 45 through 47. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Since the beginning, there has been one message, repentance and remission of sins. Think about that. It started 2,000 years ago. And it's still important to this day. Why? Why is it so important?
I find it interesting. No, the word isn't really interesting. I find it fascinating that after Jesus was tempted by the devil, he was ministered to by angels. In Matthew 4:17, it says, and he began to preach. And what were the first recorded words that he was given? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If the kingdom of heaven was at hand at that time, how much closer tonight is it?
And how much closer is it today? The sermon you're hearing was preached almost 15 years ago. How much more urgency is placed upon the message of repentance and remission of sins through Jesus Christ now? Brothers, is this your main mission when you preach? Is this the foundation upon which your sermon is built? I'm going to turn this back over to my grandfather.
In Romans, the second chapter, the fourth verse, says that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. God is holding out his hand to you and I. He said, repent. Change your ways. Come closer to me. Do the things that I command, and I will give you eternal life.
Repent. Change your ways. Come closer to me. Do the things that I command, and I will give you eternal life. When we stand behind the pulpit, are we prioritizing this call to come closer to Christ? My fellow servants in the priesthood, is this what we are preaching? Are we bringing forth a clear message led by the Spirit? Message of encouragement, this urging and pleading to set aside our sins. This pulpit is not open for us to speak our minds freely on whatsoever we will, to vent on current affairs or pontificate of the politics of the day. This pulpit is reserved for words directed by God through the Holy Spirit. We are given and have accepted a solemn responsibility, a responsibility to deliver messages of edification, of direction, of encouragement, of chastisement, messages built on the foundation of repentance and remission of sins, messages that have one clear goal in mind, to draw us closer to Jesus Christ, towards repentance, to get to know Christ. First Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We have the opportunity, the calling, the responsibility to spread the message of the cross. When we stand here, are we sharing the power of God to help others get to know Christ? 1 Corinthians 2:4 through 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we stand behind this desk, our preaching should be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Or are we preaching the wisdom and opinions of earthly things? Do your messages reflect that your faith stands in the wisdom of men? Or are we preaching the power of God in whom our faith resides? You know, I'm not exempt. Are we, as a ministry, as a priesthood, am I willing to swallow my pride and recognize that maybe, just maybe we need to do it better? Now, we must hold ourselves to a higher standard. I take personal responsibility in this matter, and I recognize if I have fallen short, and so should you. I must examine every motivation behind every single word that I say from behind this pulpit, and you have a responsibility to do the same. We have a responsibility to each other to hold ourselves to the highest standard that Christ set, that we are fulfilling the responsibilities of our calling to the highest degree, to preach repentance and remission of sins, to shepherd our congregation towards Christ, to help others get to know Christ.
We need to know what he means in our life. We need to invite him into our daily lives. And I look over my life and I say to myself, there are times that I wouldn't want him walking with me. I'd be too ashamed. I'd be horrified. And yet, I didn't get away with anything, did I? I didn't fool him one bit, did I? You and I can't fool him either. He knows our hearts. He knows our desires. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where Satan is going to attack. And by being part of him, we can thwart that attack. We can beat it back.
Brothers, we must also walk the walk and talk the talk. Are we as a ministry putting in the work to walk the walk and to talk the talk? We preach from this pulpit faith, obedience, enduring to the end. Do you hold yourself to that same standard? As my grandfather just stated, the Lord knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows your weaknesses. We cannot fool him. Are you actively working on getting to know Christ more personally? To draw yourself closer to Christ, to be able to thwart, to beat back Satan, because we know the Lord knows where he's going to attack. Or are you good where you are? Have you become complacent? I stand before you today and confess I'm not where I need to be. I have become complacent, slack in my studying, slower to service, and comfortable in my life. I need to spend a lot more time in prayer with God every day. I need to put Christ first in my life every day to be ready to serve at a moment's notice. What about you? 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Brothers, we are charged to preach the word of God, to be instant in season and out of season. And again, I have to confess something to you today. I have fallen short. Fallen short of fulfilling my duty, falling short of fulfilling the responsibilities of my calling. at times unable or unwilling to perform those things to which I was called because of my sin, because of my attitude, because of my selfishness, failing to be instant in season and out of season. This must change. There is no excuse. Again, what about you? We are charged to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is a fair question to ask you gentlemen. Do we practice what we preach? Do we care enough not to just say an example, to read an example, but to lead, to shepherd the flock? Do we care enough to get to know Christ more? To help others get to know Christ? Are you willing to do better? Am I? Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Another fair question. Do you get the pricking of your heart urging you to be here and attend services, yet you ignore it? Will you be here this afternoon? Will you be here Tuesday evening for our ministry meeting? Will you be here on Wednesday night? I stand again before you guilty. I must again confess I fall short. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Where is my focus? I have to ask myself, am I visiting those that stand in need? Am I checking on the flock? Are we eager to go visit our brothers and sisters who are scattered members, or other congregations that may be struggling that would simply love to have a visitor in their midst? Are we sacrificing our comfort and our time to do a greater work to which we are called? I have to hold myself to this standard as well. This is what I signed up for. It's time to get to work.
Each day is a battle for you and I. Each day, obstacles are set in our path by Satan, who is doing his best to draw us away from Jesus Christ and into his realm. And he has succeeded within the world. The world around us is in bad shape.
My fellow brothers, the world around us is in bad shape, and Satan is doing his best. Are you? I said this was a sermon in two parts. We've come to the second part. What is your responsibility as the body of Christ? What is our responsibility to get to know Christ better? And helping others, those within our walls and those without, get to know Christ.
I heard a testimony this morning. Said that there was love within this Church of Christ. And I agree. I believe that that's what sets this church apart. I don't care where you go, who you talk to in the Church of Christ, If you open yourselves up with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you can feel that love. You can feel that concern. And I walk into the East Local, I can feel that love. I walk into Panabo in the Philippines, I can feel that love. Or any other local or congregation within the Church of Christ.
Last weekend, as Kevin stated, was Michigan Reunion. I was very privileged to go and spend time with my brother there. There were a lot of visitors. Wednesday night, if you were here, you heard our sister Becky Sheldon give a testimony. She said when she was up at the church building, when she walked in, when she was around our brothers and sisters, it felt like home. Why is that? Brian, I'm going to put you on the spot if that's okay. Brian, when you travel to these different countries in Africa, all the way around the world, do you feel that love of our brothers and sisters there?
They always tell me, feel that home, and I always knew.
He always feels at home. He's in the body of Christ. We have something different. This is a benefit of the body of Christ. Moroni 7, 50 through 53. I'm going to just read verse 53. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. Do you do this? Do you pray for that love with all the energy of your heart? Is it important to you, this love of Christ, this love that we have for each other? People are searching for it. How unique we have this opportunity to travel all around the world and share that same love, to feel at home with our brothers and sisters wherever we go. This is rare. We must be filled with this love. We must share this love with others. We must set the example amongst ourselves. And we must show the world outside of these walls, that there is a divine benefit to getting to know Jesus Christ. That there's something different. Not of ourselves, but that there's something more. Getting to know Jesus Christ means being a partaker of the love of Jesus Christ. Do you wish to share it?
You know, I think that God loves us in spite of our faults. I certainly hope so, because I have them. But here he tells us to become perfect. And God's love is sufficient and strong enough to help you and I attain that goal of perfection. It's not me saying it, it's a commandment. Be ye perfect.
As a body of Christ, as a congregation, you have a responsibility. You are commanded to be perfect. You must have a will to strive towards perfection and endure to the end. Moroni 10, 29 through 30. I'm just going to read a snippet of this. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. There is no wiggle room. We are called to something more. We have to strive to get to know Jesus Christ more personally in our lives, to strive towards that perfection, to put in the work. This is echoed in Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Live soberly, live righteously, deny yourselves of all ungodliness. These things are a choice. When we choose to get to know Christ, when we choose to help others get to know Christ, we are choosing to set ourselves apart from the world, to choose something different, to allow Christ to purify us. Perfection does not come because of the great and wonderful works that we do, but through the grace of God and Christ's purifying work. Do you want that? Do you want to help others get to know that, to understand the importance of repentance and remission of sins?
Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. He forgave the man of his sins. Because of his faith and the faith of the people. We can be forgiven through our faith.
As my grandfather stated, there's an importance to faith. We as a congregation and as a ministry have to increase our faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible. It is impossible to please him. Similarly, Mormon 4:83. And the reason why he ceaseth to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God in whom they should trust. We are charged as a congregation, as a ministry, to get to know Christ, to increase and strengthen our faith. Faith is everything. Faith is the fuel to your spiritual car. Without it, you're not going anywhere. Do you feel sometimes like you're running a little on empty? We need to increase our faith. We have a mighty responsibility before us. In Romans 10, 13 through 14 and 17, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't desire to grow our faith, to increase our faith, and to share our faith, can we then be surprised when we look outside of these walls and we see a faithless world? Mormon 4, 84 through 93. I'm going to skip ahead. Doubt not, but be believing. Verse 93. And begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Those words of Christ will be confirmed. This scripture, this passage here tells us that these words of Christ, the sharing of our faith, will be confirmed on those that believe, that do not doubt. What a tremendous responsibility we have to not only others, but to ourselves. Doubt not, but be believing. Grow your faith. It is a choice. Choose to grow your faith. Come unto the Lord with all of your heart and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. I'm going to turn this back over.
Jesus Christ forgives our sins. And as our brother last Sunday so aptly pointed out, there are so many that we are guilty of. And we need his forgiveness. And we can obtain it. It says, repent. Fall on your knees and ask forgiveness. And then rise and do that sin no more. I've had trouble with that once in a while. I find myself doing the same thing over and over and over. Finally saying, God, what's wrong with me? Why can't I put this aside? Why does it keep coming up and biting me? It's because I haven't become personal enough with Jesus Christ. I haven't got the faith that I should have. My faith is weak.
My grandfather, towards the end of his life, expressed his struggle with sin. Nearing the end of his life, he says he hasn't become personal enough with Jesus Christ. His faith is weak. Is this you? Do you feel the same? We have time. But we have to take advantage of the time that's given us. Every day, we should be petitioning the Lord for his forgiveness. We have to seek the Lord's forgiveness and be willing to change. In order to get to know Christ, we must be willing to seek forgiveness and change our lives. Mosiah 2:16, and again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. My grandfather said, fall on your knees and ask forgiveness, and then rise and do that sin no more. Do you do this? Are you willing to change? Are we willing to set aside ourselves to get to know Jesus Christ more? Mosiah 2, 32 through 35. I'll just read the first of 32. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not fall on our knees and ask God for forgiveness, begging him for forgiveness of sins? We are all beggars before God. We implore God, bringing ourselves to the depths of humility and crying out to him for forgiveness with a sincere and penitent heart. This is a state that we must approach God, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, so that we can truly be open to getting to know Christ more, so that we can be open to his leading and his direction to help others get to know Christ. Again,
let's go to Romans, first chapter, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Are you? Are you fast to proclaim your belief in Jesus Christ? Fast to proclaim your reliance upon him? Paul says here, "I'm not ashamed." And he proved by his life that he was not ashamed. And that's the way that you and I can prove that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is through our lives. The example that you and I set for the world. The example that we give to each other.
And that example. That example that we set for the world, that example that we set for each other is paramount. As a congregation and as a ministry, we have to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke 9:26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." The example that we give in our lives, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Does your life prove that you are not ashamed? Does the example that you set for the world draw others closer to Jesus Christ? Does it encourage them to get to know him? Psalm 49 through 10, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." Last Wednesday, our sister Esme stood up and gave a testimony. She said she was telling a testimony about and sharing, relating a story about how she invited someone at her work to join us in the congregation, to come to church, because of the difficulty this person was having in their marriage. She shared with this individual the love that she has for Jose. Sorry, Esme, Jose, don't mean to put you on the spot. She shared this love that she has for Jose, and that guy said that he doesn't hear people talking about their spouse that way. He recognized that there is something different. There is something different present when you get to know Jesus Christ. Are you concealing that? Are you sharing that? Matthew 5, 13 through 16. "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." To get to know Christ, to help others to get to know Christ, we must let our light shine.
in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And this is what you and I can look forward to if we let Jesus into our life, if we repent of our sins. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." What a beautiful promise. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'"
And what a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise those words truly are. Lastly, as a congregation and as a ministry, we have to have hope. We must be willing to share the hope that's within us. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Are you ready to give that answer right now? Do you understand that answer? Can we help others get to know Christ? If we are unable or unwilling or unready to answer this question, so what is that hope? What do you hope for? 1 Peter 3 through 9. I tried to fit all of it on the screen there. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Is your hope alive? "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Verse 6, "wherein ye greatly rejoice." And verse 9, "receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Are you ready to share that hope? Sharing that hope is vitally important. The world is desperately searching for hope. We're given opportunities in the congregation to share that hope. Even within our own congregation, in opportunities, in prayer, in testimony services, and in sacrament services, we have the opportunity to witness unto others the blessings of God and his goodness. When we stand and testify, when you stand up to testify, are you giving glory to the Lord? Is the testimony about us or you? Or is it for the glory of God? When you stand to testify of God's goodness, does it renew a sense of lively hope in Christ that we may be strengthened in trials of our faith? Or does it bring glory to yourself? Is your testimony a story about you and the wonderful things you've done? Or is it led by the Holy Ghost? A direct pointing towards God, and his blessings, his loving kindness, and his abundant mercy, we need to examine ourselves. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 1, 29 through 31. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Glory in the Lord. In the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. Take advantage of the opportunity to share that lively hope for his glory, to help others get to know Christ better and not yourselves. In closing, we need to remember as a priesthood and as a congregation that it is our mission to make it our mission to get to know Christ. It is only appropriate that as I close, I let my grandfather have the last word.
Helen Steiner Rice writes, how often we wish for another chance to make a fresh beginning, a chance to blot out our mistakes and change failure into winning. And it does not take a new year to make a brand new start. It only takes the deep desire to try with all your heart, to live a little better, to always be forgiving, and to add a little sunshine to the world in which we're living. So never give up in despair and think that you are through. For there's always a tomorrow and a chance to start anew. Thank you very much.
And I thank you for your time as well.